Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hey, 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 my friends. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. Come on in. Today, I am so excited to introduce you to my friend, Joseph Whitewolf, and I know you are going to love so much of what he has to say. So let's get started. Come on in. As you're joining, say hello in the comments. Let us know that you are here. You're with us. You can hear me and see me okay. As you can tell, I am on remote. I'm on location in the middle of the Red Rocks of Moab, Utah. So, so excited to be here and happy that we have the ability to come to you from really almost any place in the world and connect this way. So very grateful for technology today. So come on in, my friends, say hello. I'm going to bring Joseph in just a minute or two after we get you all on board so you can hear every minute of everything that he has to say, because this guy is, he's got a lot to say from the heart, and I'm really excited to introduce you to him. So, hey guys, good to see you, Bev and Tammy and Cynthia and Serena and Teresa, Barb, Judy, Maria, good to see you guys. Hey Chris, good to see ya. Diane, awesome. Emma, come on in, friends. All right. Yes, I know there's a little background noise. I apologize for that. It's just how it is when you're on location. Can't control that. So we just let go of it and know that it's all in perfect divine order. Okay, friends. So I want to introduce you to my friend. So let me bring him on for you. All right, Joseph, there you are. Hi, my friend.
Hey. Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You're so welcome. I'm so happy to be here and to let our audience get to know a little bit about you. So first, I want to introduce you and share your bio so they do know a little bit about you before you come and share a little more, okay?
All right.
So this is Joseph Whitewolf Cosgrove. He was born in Northern Canada, spending most of his early years deep in the wilderness alongside his father, who was a fur trapper. He became spiritually awake as a young boy, developing a deep love and respect for animals. Joseph became deeply grounded in the spirit world, where he was able to see the connection of all living things. Rooted with a deep love, respect, and communion with the earth, Joseph brings his gift of visions and storytelling to assist people in healing both emotional and physical traumas. Joseph is most renowned for his dream vision journeys and his animal messages. Thank you so much, Joseph, for being here.
You know what's interesting? I'm listening to you read the bio, and I'm thinking my wife wrote that. And I'm like, what a gem. Words, you know? And I was like, gosh, is that me? I feel like going to see me.
I always feel that way, too. When people are reading my bio, I'm like, man, that's okay. That's pretty good. Somebody had some good words.
Yeah. Well, awesome. You know, we were just talking a minute ago, and I was like, when I do interviews, or basically even if I'm doing a one-on-one session with somebody, my wife's the only one that knows, I get so nervous beforehand, you know, I really do. And I've been on the stage and, you know, it's all the same. It doesn't matter if I'm going to go and talk to 1,000 people or if I'm going to talk to one, I still get all nervous and stuff. And over the time, my wife said, oh, the more nervous you get, the better it goes and stuff. You know? And I said, oh, and so we started paying attention to it. I said, you know what it's like spirit wants to use me in that moment. Yeah. And I've got my pride and my ego and stuff, you know, and all of a sudden spirits are coming in and said, get out of the way, Joseph, I need to use that carcass of yours. So out you go. And it's like, I'm resistant and stuff. And that's my nerves. But all of a sudden I start talking and it all goes away. Huh. It's like the end of, like, you know, wolf spelt backwards, everything starts to flow.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. So I really enjoy that nerve. It's hard, it's weird. I'm bent out of shape being nervous and stuff, you know, and my wife's laughing at me, but I actually really enjoy it because not only does it let me know I'm alive and human and all that stuff, but I'm a man. And I realized I'm a good feeler. Mm-hmm. I love to feel everything, you know, and that's one of the feelings that's come that I really honor and respect, because I'm not nervous all day long, every day. Something has to, you know, come into play for that feeling to come up. So sure. I'm like, that's a really good feeling for me to have, you know. And when I say I'm an internal feeler, my wife's an external feeler. She is so crazy awesome for me, because the way we operate together, it's like there's something missing in me, something missing in her. Yeah, it's us. It's each other together. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can't accomplish. It's good. So she always gives me advice, and she understands me. She's probably the only person in the world that really understands me, you know? And my struggle with this is my part of my discovery, my teachings was, sometimes I just want her to know how I feel about a few things. And I realized, being an external feeler, you feel in stuff, but it doesn't go deep into that spot where it goes with me. So when she's saying, don't give it so much energy, don't give it so much strength, Joseph, don't bother, I realize that, you know, I can't really help it. But that's where I love from, too, and that's where I commit from, too. So that's sure. my operating space. So actually now I kind of enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So it's good. All these feelings, all this stuff that I'm going through. My dad just passed away, and I went up to Canada to visit for the last time, and I made it. There he was, you know, and I got to see him. And through the COVID thing, it's another whole nightmare I had to do.
Oh, boy.
And all that, you know, and just wow. But you know what? The coolest thing with losing my father, and I didn't. It's not losing him. I'm actually kind of gaining them, really.
Yeah.
Was that my dad, when he passed, he took my heart, my soul, everything in me to the deepest level of missing that I've ever been. I didn't know I could miss that much, mm-hmm. but I do now. And for me, with the grieving part, missing him and stuff, just like my mom, when she passed, she taught me this. I'm sitting outside Sedona, beautiful landscape. There's no reason to be sad or anything, but I'm missing my mom, man. You know, and I'm just behind these little bushes and I'm crying. And I'm like, gosh, mom, and look at this beautiful place I'm at. If you could just see me now and stuff. And there's the Thunder Mountain, there's a little saddle where you can see the blue sky. And it was almost like she started talking from there. And she said, Joseph, what are you doing? I said, oh, gosh, Mom, I'm missing you. I guess I'm grieving you and stuff. She, no, you're not. What am I doing then? She goes, it's not you, it's me. She said, listen, Joseph, when I passed over, I didn't know what to really expect. But when I got to the other side here, all of a sudden I realized every ounce of love that I've ever received, I had to return it, because love's a gift. It's a gift. You can't take it with you. So I started with our little dog. I had a pet raccoon, little racket too. She said, all my love, I started sending it back. And I came to you, Joseph. She said, you know the old story about trying to squeeze a camel through the needle? That's you. Joseph, I didn't realize how much you loved me. And when I try to send the love that you shared with me back into your consciousness, I already know. It's just like the space shuttle. Going through that atmosphere, getting all shaken up, and then boop, there's a little breakthrough. Joseph, please enjoy that breakthrough, because the pain you're going through and the missing and all that, that's what's measuring the amount of love you shared with me. If you didn't love me, I'm not saying you wouldn't feel anything, but I'm just saying the tremendous amount of pain and all this, what you're going through, it's your love coming back into your consciousness so you can share that love with me in a different way. And I'm like, wow. Mom, I really did love you. And so I knew when my dad crossed, and with my mom, I want to go back to that. Things was different when she passed with me. I wasn't, let's just say I wasn't 100% on my path. And I felt a little bit like a disappointment to her. And as soon as she passed, she got so close to me. She's never left my side. And I realized, yeah, that's because of what I'm going through. She's my comfort. She's guiding me in that way. Now I knew things was coming. And my mom, you know, growing up and stuff, She liked warm beer. And she loved smoking cigarettes, man. And she could take a smoke. I remember being a little kid, she'd be like, watch this. And she could blow three circles through. And then as I got older with her drinking and stuff, and my friends, your mom's an alcoholic. She's always drunk and stuff. And I was, gosh, man, what a label, an alcoholic, a drunk. And I said, I'm changing it. You know what? That's not what she was. Professional drinker. And a she knows what she was doing. If you won't believe me, go get a couple of cases of beer and bring it over. You'll see. She drinks at the table. She loved her drinking and stuff to the point it actually took her life. I said, a lot of NASCAR drivers and things, they lose their life with the passion and stuff that they've devoted to their life. And it took it too. So what's the difference with my mom? She really enjoyed it. So I look at my mom now, professional drinker. So I'm out walking around and I see a cigarette butt. And I look down and go, look at that butt. And I'll pick it up. And I'll go, you know, I know litter and all that. And I don't know who you are that dropped the butt, but let me send you a quick blessing. Thank you for dropping this butt. Mm-hmm. You left me a memory of my mom. Yeah. So I hold it up in the air. I go, Mom, I love you. It's me, Joseph. And in my mind, do I really know what happens when we pass? No. I've got some ideas and stuff, but I'll figure it out when I get there. But I don't really know. But one thing I do know, if by chance my mom can see me, she's going to get my grandma, my grandpa, my little sister, Mary, and a bunch of people that's real close, family members. She's going to get them to watch Joseph down there when he picks up that cigarette. But watch what happens. And then I pick it up. I love you, Mom. I could see the glow on her face and the proud and just the moment. Now, you want to tell me my son didn't love me? He still loves and adores me. And so I look at that and I say, I get those goosebump feelings because I know what my mom's feeling in that moment. And so I have my ways of connecting and look, getting my signs and stuff, you know. And my dad, oh gosh, we're close. We look identical twins. And, little age difference, but still, you know, it's all good. And when we're out in public and people, are you guys brothers? Oh my God, Dad. He feels good and I feel like And it's just me. So we got to really talk about things. And as he was going through his cancer and stuff, well, it wasn't his. And he never did take ownership to it. He was, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Struggling through. He beat it. It came back. He beat it. It came back. He was like going in the ring for the championship. And then at the end, you know, his heart was good. His body was good. But the cancer was in there and it ended up, it took his life. And when I was thinking about that, I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about your dad and your journey with him as he transitioned.
So I knew I was going to be missing him. And so because I was close, we talked, here's what happened. My dad always played guitar and singing country music. He got a little CD out. He'd travel across the country because he has a place in Arizona and then back to Canada. So 6 months, 6 months. So he'd stop at the drug stops and put his guitar case out, play, sing, and wait for people to come over. He'd sell a CD and sign them. And, you know, he had his moments where he felt, you know, and he got up on stage at Western events and stuff like that. And when I was really young, he bought my sisters a guitar and I never got one. And I always wondered, I wonder how come Daddy didn't get me a guitar. And I love singing. Oh, well, whatever. Years go by. Now we're at this stage in life and I know Dad's not going to last much longer. So I says to him, Dad, remember when you bought Kim and Gordy my sister's guitars? You didn't get me one. He goes, no, I know. Yeah. I said, listen, I never played guitar. Never. I said, I don't know how to play guitar. Here's what we're going to do, Dad. When the day comes and you do crossover, I want you to leave me your guitar. And what's going to happen is I'm not going to take no lessons. I'm not going to look on the computer and stuff. I'm going to put my fingers.
Yeah, let's see it.
I'm going to put my fingers wherever they need to go. And when I strum it through and it's smooth, I'll know you're with me. I said, and Dad, what I'll do is I'll get enough chords together that it sounds good enough, and I'll write the lyrics, and I'll write a song. Then when I go up and talk one day to a group of people, I'm going to sing that song. Yeah. I'm not going to be singing it, Dad. That's going to be the moment you sing through me. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, I said, another thing is, Dad, that's your love, that's your passion, that's your music. And I wasn't a part of it, but I am now. Mm-hmm. So I want to take that guitar and carry on, you know, your music and stuff like that. I said, so when things get important, Dad, and I really, really need a sign that you're with me, come on, leave me a guitar pick. Look what's happened so far.
Look at that.
I'm not a guitar pick. As soon as I made mention to it, I'm not a guitar pick. Where are you going to find guitar picks? Well, as soon as I put it out there, and Dad said, you betcha.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I started finding these guitar picks.
Yeah, was there eight there? Is that how many I counted?
Oh, look at you. You're quick. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's eight of them here. Yes. Infinity.
That's what I was thinking, my friend.
Right off the hop, you know, my dad, he's talking. Here's another real, listen, folks. Things happen, and it brings out our tears and stuff. And for me, tears are so sacred. So, when my dad passed over and was taking his last breath, of course, you know, I was crying. And so I cleaned up as best I could, and I kept all the tears on the Kleenex, and I wrote, I love you, Dad. And so I kept those with me, that one with me. And then, you know, the cremation ashes came back, and my dad's got a beautiful island that he lived on, out on the lake. So our family went out, and there was a pine tree. I'm like, look at this. The pine, the sun comes up right here. The pine tree, it's not a spot where he's ever, you know, built anything and stuff. So I got all the grandkids. Everybody's there. And I had all the ashes, you know. And I said, I want everyone just hold the ashes. We're going to pass it around. Just thank you, Grandpa. So then it came to me. And then the grandkids dig the hole. We all did it together. We put the ashes in. I covered it up. And I was crying, of course, and stuff. And the little tag that the ashes come, I took a nail and hammered it into the tree. And says, this is where Dad's going to rest. And I was crying. And we had our moment. And so I didn't have a Kleenex because we were on an island. But I had a cleanup tissue, a little thicker. So I cleaned up my tears with it. And I wrote, love you, Dad. Mm-hmm. You're like an old dad. So I saved this one too. Now the first tissue, my dad and I had talked about what we're going to do when he does pass and stuff like that. So I went to this location with the first Kleenex. I put it underneath the tree. And I left it there, and I said, no, that's my dad's little resting spot. When I'm missing him, I'm going to come, and he's going to be a part of all this that's going on. Now, this one here, I saved it. My tears are still in it. I did release the pain. I captured them, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with it yet, but I'll guarantee it's going to be special. A lot of times when I release pain and stuff like that in a moment like that, and I do capture and save them, what I'll do if it's something that's causing me pain that I need to let go, I'll take this out back and burn it. And I'll watch the pain go into that smoke and off. It'll go and drift off away. And then I feel better. And if I have to do it a couple of times to get myself to that point where I have, feel like, okay, you know, it's gone. It's good. Well, that turns the tears into a beautiful little ceremony. And yeah. Simple. Even just put it in the river. Cry, leave it, and off it goes. Or what if you're with a friend and they start talking about something personal and then they start crying and you're just sitting there, oh my God, I had no idea. Then you give them their Kleenex and afterwards saying, you know, and you, I saw you, you just shared so much in this moment with me and I'm so honored, but I saw you release the pain. I saw it come out in your tears, but I also saw you catch them. You caught that pain in there. Let's burn.
Yeah.
Let's just let it go, turn into a nice little easy ceremony, burn them and release the tears. And then when you start thinking about that pain, what will happen is you'll start thinking about that smoke you saw leave and the little sparkle or something, how you let it go. And I'd rather be thinking about how I let things go, or, you know, than the actual. It just gets easier. It's more healing.
Sure.
It makes me happy. So anyways, this is this is what I've been up to this last little while. feeling my dad and feeling the pain and feeling the missing and enjoying every moment, knowing that my love for him is coming and re-entering my consciousness, and he's not able to take it with him. So the moments that I'm going through in the grieving, that is what's going on. And I already know he's with me. Gosh, you look at the, I had a major.
Look at the car pics, man.
I'm like, there was something I had to make a decision about. And I'm on the phone and I'm making the decision with the lawyer and stuff, you know, and I look down, two guitar picks. Two guitar picks.
You can't make that up, right?
I'm doing it, you know, and I did, and it all worked out. But I'm like, gosh, it's just neat. You know, I've got a situation that's devastating. It's the hardest thing I've ever really gone through, but yet I've loved every moment of all the feelings and emotions that I've gone through. And so I'm like, I'm so grateful. I have my dad to miss in that deep of a level. My mom was different. That was my mom. It was different. She never left my side. Sometimes she doesn't stop chittering up in my thoughts and mind and stuff, you know, and dad was different, but yet, what beautiful experiences I've had by seeing it this way and feeling my love for them coming back in the kind of the form of a pain, but yet, oh man, and I love them dearly.
And I love that analogy too, Joseph, because I think that so often we forget that part of being human is experiencing all of it. It's not just the good, that the difficult times make the good even better. And when we're in the difficult time, all we want is the good. And so I love you sharing that, because we need that reminder, especially when there's loss of any kind. And, you know, everybody right now throughout this pandemic, doesn't matter what kind, who you are, everybody's suffering some kind of loss, whether it's a loss of freedom, a loss of time, a loss of life, a loss of health, a loss of money. There's loss that's happening. Yeah. And when we can allow ourselves to feel it, see it that way, it can change our perspective.
It can. Everything's changed now.
Yes.
You know, everything's changed. Well, look at what we're doing today. We're not on a stage in a stadium filled in an arena. We're here doing it this way. And yes. Yet, beautiful. Sometimes we have to work with what we've got, and that's all there is to it, you know? So right now, that's all I got.
Yes. Now, can you share? So earlier, so this is what happens, guys.
Okay. I know.
This is what happens when you interview your friends beforehand, is you start talking. You never should do that, because then you get all this good information. But one thing that Joseph said that I thought was really important, and then we're going to jump to just some off-the-cuff questions for him. But you said, in like February, you noticed your fruit trees were freezing. So tell everyone that. I thought that was fascinating.
I do get a lot of messages from my garden.
Yes.
It's such a simple way. But come spring this year, around February, when things was starting to bloom, and you know, so all my nut and fruit trees came into bloom, and then the frost nailed them and they killed all the blooms off. And I thought, gosh. This happened to all the trees at once. I'm like, okay, something's going on here. And it's global. It's a big deal. And what's happening is, this is a year that we're not actually going to produce a lot of fruit. This is a year that we need to get grounded and rooted and really grow. Next year, perhaps, but not this year. There's just not going to be a lot of out. It's time to bring it in, sort of thing. So when the freeze got hit with the frost, I said, uh-oh. This is an interesting year we're stepping into. And we got hit right away with the frost, and there was no fruit. And then so as things unrolled with the COVID and all that, I realized, wow, nature's got the craziest way of speaking to us, you know. Look at a robin. I'm from far north, so as soon as a robin comes back, oh, winter's over. It's a sign. It's nature, though. It's a natural sign. Everybody knows up there, but it's right. A good one. So same with the trees like this. It told me something was going on, so.
Well, but it's a perfect reminder is that we may not be receiving a lot of fruit, and fruit can represent a lot of different things for people. Mm-hmm. It could be relationships, it could be money, it could be a variety of different things. But what it's calling us into is to get sturdy and strong and grow. Yes. And without the growth, then the fruit doesn't develop any, meaning we have to consistently and constantly be growing. If the trees don't grow, then there's no fruit to begin with. So growth is part of it. But most of us don't choose to take off a year to grow. We go, no, I want to somehow grow while I'm having fruit. And sometimes we stop and recreate.
Yeah, it's growing is everything. I think now I'm 58. I'm going to be 59 in February. And I think, you know, it took me all these years to figure out that I don't know anything. And then now all of a sudden, the hunger inside, I'm like a sponge. I'm just sponging all this stuff up now. It's like, finally. And I appreciate, you know, the exchange and the learning and stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's why beforehand we get talking and catching up. And then
I know. I'm like, shoot, 15 minutes have already gone by. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Joseph, I want to ask you a couple of questions, just off the cuff questions, okay?
Yes, all right. Please.
How do you define success?
Wow. You know what I think success is to me personally? It's, I figure I'm crazy successful because I'm happy and I'm at peace inside. And I really do. I love everybody. And I try my best to not even let thoughts come in. It takes any of that away. So I'm very aware of what's going on in that. And I'm thinking I'm slowly becoming more successful in that little realm that I live. So I think success got to do with your inner peace and, you know, money and stuff. That to me is blessings and abundance. And there's ways, and we all know all these things, but for me, the true success, you could have billions. Well, look at my clients. I deal with a lot of very successful people. And so I know money's not going to make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. But when you're happy, you're happy. Look at that homeless person. You go up and you say, I don't want to change. I got no responsibilities. I got nothing. I don't care. I don't want nothing. And yet we're looking and say, well, you should have a house. And he's happy. He's happy. I'm like, good for you. You know, that's not my happiness. That's your happiness right now, where you're at and stuff. So happy all the way through. So success, if I get devastated and I'm still happy in my devastated and I still do, that's success.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. What was your first job?
My very first job was putting in swimming pools with my father. This fellow's name was Sam Carfanini, and I was too young to work. So my dad's, hey, he's 16. But I was strong and stuff. I moved that wheelbarrow and stuff, and that was my first job. And became friends, and Sam was so strung out, and he was such a trip. And I was a little kid. He was always cursing and swearing, yelling at us, and I was like, yeah, dude. Anyways, long story short, this man ended up being an unbelievable artist, drawing pictures of nature and stuff. The calm as a cucumber. Talk about growing. Sam was a great example for me to see someone going from that to that.
Yeah, sure. Huh.
That was my first job.
Okay. What is the best advice you've ever been given?
There's lots of advice that I've been given from my mom and dad. And my mom always says to me, she goes, Joseph, don't be worrying about what other people think of you. I said, hey, don't be worrying about what they think of you. When it gets to the end and you're laying there in bed and you're taking your last, they won't be there. So don't worry about what people are thinking of you. Spend your time with the people that care. Devote your energy to that, you know. So that's really wise words. That's my mom. My mom was, she just come out with them, you know. My dad said to me, son, because I was asking to go fishing. He said, listen, if you get up and you got that smell and you can smell the fish and you're hungry and you're excited, go. Get in the canoe and go fishing. Don't ask your sisters to go. Don't ask me to go. Don't ask your mom to go. We're busy and we got stuff to do. And if we say, yeah, we want to go, and you're sitting there waiting for us, and waiting and waiting and waiting, the time goes by, you don't get to go. You're going to sit there, Joseph, you're going to be all disappointed. And he said, you know, disappointment, that's not a good way to live. So don't be setting yourself up for it. You've got to go fishing, you go fishing. If I go with you, I'm sharing in on your fun. I'm not going to be sitting back waiting, letting someone take it away from me. You want to go fishing, Joseph. You got something you want to do? Well, by golly, go and do it. If someone comes with you, well, then good for them. But don't sit waiting for people. So I guess that my dad, I'm kind of a loner. I like doing things alone. Is probably why, you know. I mean, if a chance I can do something, I'm like, go and do it then. Pull the car over and take a look at that view. Smell that little flower, whatever, you know. Can I share a flower smelling?
Sure.
Walking out back, there's a little flower. When we first moved into this home we're in, and I had my stepson, and I was like, look at that little flower over there. And so I started going to smell it. So I took a, oh, it smells like perfume. Do you want to have a smell? No. So I took another smell. All of a sudden, the flower's like, Joseph, how old are you? At this time, a few years later, I'm 55. Oh, you got a few years left, do you? I only got 2 weeks left. I said, what do you mean? Joseph, I'm a flower and I'm in bloom. You know there's nothing more beautiful in this world than a flower in bloom. I represent the beauty of creation, but I only got about 2 weeks left. Hey, my bloom's going to go. I'm almost done. But as a flower, I've been wanting to really have my purpose fulfilled in life. So I got thinking about it, and I looked at the birds that fly over, and I thanked them. I said, thank you for seeing me. You're fulfilling my purpose. Then all of a sudden, the ants came over, crawling on me and stuff, and the bee, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. No, there's more to my life than just birds in the sky. I've got friends and stuff. And then all of a sudden, it was like, it's these ants. They see me. Joseph, when you came walking over here as a human being and get down on your knees in front of me and started sniffing me out, oh, I released all the energy, all my love, all the essence of my love, everything in that moment. Joseph, you don't realize that that goosebumpy feeling you got was me hugging you back and thanking you for fulfilling my purpose. The other flowers were yelling, what's it like? I'm like, be quiet, get my moment. How many people have walked by and stopped? He's the only one. This is my moment. So afterwards, I'm like, oh my goodness. I start looking at all the flowers. I'm like, you guys want to come home with me? So we picked the flowers, brought them home, played with them a little bit. I put them on a cookie sheet and I dried them. And I put them in, grind them up and put them in my little offering bag. And then when it's time to have a little time and you want to give a little offering, that's what I'm giving. Those flower petals from that flower reminding me. How I should really just appreciate the time that I have left, because that's in years. Those seconds I spent with that flower, for the flower, was like months. She said, even when you pulled away and stood up, I felt what it was like to be abandoned, Joseph. Thank you. I'm like, wow. So, of course, you know, when I hug a tree and all these things out in nature, it's like, what a beautiful way to learn and just go out there and just be a part of it all like that. So now for me, my offerings are, yes, the flower petals, but what's went in them to them, the story that's behind them, me learning to sniff flowers and fulfill their purpose. Let them be seen. How many times have I been? How many times have we been that flower? Mm-hmm. And we just want something to see us, you know, just yeah. Say you're doing good. Good for you, Joe. Way to go, Joe, or something, you know. It's like, sometimes we're nature too, and we need to have that moment. So in my world, I try and give it as much as I can. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah, that's a beautiful message. And I think too, and I'm just wanting to make sure all of you heard the message before of, you know, don't use other, the way I heard it was, don't use other people as your excuse to not do the things you want to do. Don't wait around to get company for something that you're inspired to do, or you miss the blessing, the fish, for example, yeah. In your story, then you yeah. Miss that because you're holding out, waiting for somebody else to come and join you. Listen to your spirit guidance in yeah. The moment that you hear it. Right? I love that. That's so, I love talking to you, Joseph. And we've got, I just noticed Brandy is on here. She was at, so the way I met Joseph, let's talk about this. So we've actually met a couple of times. We've spoken at similar events on stage at the same event for different people. And, but last year I did a mystery trip in September of last year, back when you could do things with people.
Yeah.
and I contacted Joseph and so he took my group. There are 20 of us, I think. He took my group to a crystal garden, and we did some sacred ceremony and just had such a beautiful, amazing time. And I remember everybody afterwards was like, ah, just want to sit and just listen and take it in. And I know y'all are feeling the same way. It's just, you're just wanting to take it in. But one of the things you said, and I wanted to just kind of end with this, but I want to also have you share how people can get a hold of you if they want to connect with you, because you've got so many words of wisdom. But one of the things I wanted to share with you is that one of the things you said that day, Joseph, and I've said this my whole teaching life, but you said it in a different way that people heard differently. And what it was sometimes you can love people too much.
Over love them
is what you said, over love. And I've said, sometimes you can love people too much and you can kind of smother, but you use the word over loving people. And that for so many people, it resonated. And I watched it because I thought, my gosh, what's the difference in the words? What the words are just a little bit different, but that over loving was such a critical point for so many people. And for myself as well, So I just wondered if you have any short words on that message.
That is awesome, because I measure love like a thermometer, 1 to 20. And so we realize where we're at. So women mostly is over the 15, they're up there. Men, well, we got stuff to do, man. So it's hard sometimes, you know, because we want to grow and stuff and our love is all up there. So it's hard to, for say someone at 18 to share it with a 3. Because if you share the power of love at the level of 18 with a 3, sometimes it's overwhelming. But it's just normal. That's where we're at. So what happens is I've realized that sometimes we do outlove or overlove people. And we've got to bring it back a little bit and meet them where they're at. Because what are we doing? We're not going to prove our love. We already know we love them. And it's the coolest thing. So for me, what I did was I kind of, in my thoughts, I just started over and I think about everybody in my life and the amount of love I'm sharing. Then I looked at the sharing is like food. And when I'm looking at, say, my son's plate, I see Thanksgiving dinner and I'm wanting some love. Too busy eating. I'm like, I've outloved him. I put way too much on his plate. How's he possibly ever going to digest this? You know what? That's enough. So I put crumbs on all my kids' plates and all my people that I love. And here's what happened slowly. All of a sudden, when I did call, my son called me up. Dad, I'm in a snowstorm and in the Muskokas. I said, you okay? Yeah. But I got thinking, man, what if I did die? One thing and for sure, I want my dad to know I love him. And he called me up and said, Dad, I love you on the phone. That was it. He said, I just want you to know I love you. We hung up. I'm like, that was the coolest thing, man. Because I love him so much. And he's like, why didn't you do that before? And I realized, because he was too busy feeding him and stuffing him like Thanksgiving turkey. What happened now is, got a little hunger pain. And the only way to get satisfied is go back to the source where the food is, Dad. And so things have really changed a lot in all of the people. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not trying to overlove them. I'm trying to meet them where they're at. And now I know their love is, they feel like, oh my God, he so appreciates my love. I know he does. Because I'm not giving anything back. I'm just receiving there and just holding that space. It's awesome. So if you want to be loved by somebody and stuff, sometimes you got to reduce it a little bit. You give them a chance to shine too. Don't overdo it.
Well, and it's very true. I think we do it a lot. I so appreciated that, and so did everybody else, Joseph. As so many that are listening and commenting right now, we've all so enjoyed your time today, and I want you to share how people can get a hold of you if they want to contact you, if they want to learn more about you. So Joseph's in Sedona, Arizona, guys, and he's written a book that is fantastic. So many of us, oh, there it is right there. So many of us bought it, Finding the Answers You Seek, Wisdom from a Shaman. And look at that hot guy on the cover of that book. Look at
that's
you.
Uh-huh.
I know. It's a model.
You know, I've never actually read a book in my life.
I remember you saying that.
So this here, this is a huge success.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Just to get all that words and all that stuff out of me and finally onto paper. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like an artist and I had a vision of something. I'm trying to paint it and now everybody can see it.
Yes.
They can enjoy it their own way. It's a big, great accomplishment. And also, josephwhitewolf.net is our website.
Joseph White Wolf. Okay, josephwhitewolf.net. And yes, so you can grab the book. We all love the book. Everybody on the mystery trip, everybody bought one because they're like, oh my God, we want more. And so make sure that you connect with him. If you're ever in Sedona, keep an ear out because I am going to do another mystery trip at some point when we can be with people, and Joseph is going to be there. We're going to go check something else out somewhere around the world because I know that you can do that, and I look forward to it. Thank you so much, my friend. I absolutely love you. I adore you. I appreciate your story.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you all for joining us and taking all this goodness in. If you know somebody that would appreciate listening to this message, feel free to tag them right in the comments or share it on a page, and go check out josephwhitewolf.net, and you can grab the book there as well. All right, my friends, thank you so much. Mwah, have a fantastic day.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.